Reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Mark.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When Jesus returned to Capernaum after some days, it became known that he was at home. Many gathered together so that there was no longer room for them, not even around the door, and he preached the word to them. They came bringing to him a paralytic carried by four men. Unable to get near Jesus because of the crowd, they opened up the roof above him. After they had broken through, they let down the mat on which the paralytic was lying. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to him, "Child, your sins are forgiven." Now some of the scribes were sitting there asking themselves, "Why does this man speak this way? He is blaspheming. Who but God alone can forgive sins?" Jesus immediately knew in his mind what they were thinking to themselves. So he said, "Why are you thinking such things in your hearts? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Rise, pick up your mat, and walk'? But so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralytic, "I say to you, rise, pick up your mat, and go home." He rose, picked up his mat at once, and went away in the sight of everyone. They were all astounded and glorified God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Please be seated. Throughout this first week of Ordinary Time in the letter to the Hebrews, we've been focusing on God's definitive word, Jesus Christ, who came after all the fragmentary messengers through creation and through the prophets. He came to give the full revelation of God. He came not just to speak God's words, but to enflesh God's word. And what was that message God wanted to communicate to us? Letter of the Hebrews has told us how to enter through suffering and death into the glory that awaits God's children. Jesus comes as the archegos, as that leader, as that one who goes before through suffering and death in order to redeem it, because suffering and death is medicine to what ailed us and led us to the original sin of Adam and Eve and to all our personal sins. It's through suffering that we learn how to be humble and receive others' love. It's through suffering that we see in others that we learn how to become like Jesus and become a charitable good Samaritan, cross the road. It's through the whole process of death that we realize we're not God and that we are totally dependent on God. So Jesus has come to lead us through that whole message. But as we heard yesterday, the author of the letter of the Hebrews tells us, if today you hear the Lord's voice, don't harden your heart to it. We all hear that message, but a lot of the times we bristle before suffering. We bristle before death, ours or others. We bristle before the cross, where it's precisely through the cross that we're going to have that life and a foretaste of it even here in this world. That leads us to today's passage, in which the author continues saying, "Let us be on guard while the promise of entering into his rest remains." You remember Psalm 95, what happened in Meribah and Massah in the desert, when after God's tremendous miracles to free the Jews from the slavery under Pharaoh, the 10 plagues, the leading them through the Red Sea on dry ground, through the giving of the manna, the giving of the quails, the giving of the water through the rock, through the giving of the Ten Commandments, through all of this. Soon as the people had gone into the Holy Land in order to scout it on out, they came back and said, "God was right. It is a land flowing with milk and honey, and not just milk and honey, but grapes, and look at this fruit and all the rest of it, but the people there are giants." And so they all started to get discouraged and afraid, even though God had defeated Egypt for them in all of these miraculous ways. They thought that because the people of Cana were the people of Canaan were too big for even God to handle. So that's why when their hearts hardened, God refused to let them enter into his rest. And his rest means three things. His rest means his peace, his rest means the Holy Land, and his rest means that definitive seventh day. Let us be on guard while the promise of entering into his rest remains, that none of you seem to have failed. The Israelites were promised the rest of God. They just didn't take it because their hearts vacillated. They took too much account of the winds. They were too afraid rather than confident in God's continued loving providence. It goes on to say, we have received the good news just as our ancestors did. We've received God's promises. But then he says, they heard this word but didn't profit from it because they weren't united in faith to those who were hearing and doing. For we who believed entered into that rest. Therefore, he said at the end, let us strive to enter into that rest so that no one may fall after the same example of disobedience. In order not to fall, the letter to the Hebrews is telling us, we have to strive. That word strive in Greek is agonize. We've got to really work hard for it, to remain vigilant, to remain on guard, to remain hungry, to enter into the peace of the Lord, to enter into the promised land of the Lord, which is something far greater than the Holy Land. It's where Jesus wants to lead us through the Passover, through death, through the sea of baptism into eternal life. And then to enter into that day that will have no evening, as we see in the first chapter of the book of Genesis. Seventh day, there was no evening. Striving, agonizing, hungering. We see a sign of that in today's gospel. We could certainly talk about the forgiveness of sins and Jesus' ability to heal people of any disease. But let's focus on the four friends of this paralyzed man. It's not easy to carry a person on a stretcher, and then they get to a house and the house is so packed that there's no way they can even get in the door. But that wasn't going to stop them. They climbed up on the roof of the house. Just think about how difficult that is to balance a paralyzed man who has no control over his limbs, lifting him up in an even way onto a roof. Then, the way the Hebrew roofs worked is you had these beams 3 feet apart. And then inside you had all of this sort of earth that you would put on in there, some clay, some straw, etc. So you needed to dig out all of that straw in between the beams, and then you needed to lower the man down on the inside. It was incredible striving to enter into the presence of the Lord Jesus. And it tells us that the miracle was worked because of that striving. Seeing the faith that led to that type of hard work out of love for a friend, Jesus said to the paralyzed man, your sins are forgiven. It's the type of striving that the Lord wants from all of us in our discipleship and in our apostolate. Do we strive that way? Jesus talked about his rest in the gospel, and he said, come to me, all you who are striving, all you are laboring, all you who are burdened, come to me, and I will give you rest. Then he described how. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm meek and humble and of heart. His yoke, we know, is the cross. It's what binds us to him so that we do everything in communion. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm meek and humble of heart. We need to be meek, which means we need to be strong, but not strong in a proud way. Strong the way a black belt in karate is strong. That he doesn't have to show us strength to others. Strong like the Blessed Virgin was at the foot of the cross. Not fainting, but standing and humble. Recognizing that we need God to subtract things from our life in order to fill us with himself. Learn from me, for I'm meek and humble of heart, and you will find rest for yourselves, for my yoke is easy and my burden light. Today as we come to Mass, we yoke ourselves to Jesus, and he yokes himself to us on the inside through Holy Communion. He wants us to keep that yoke alive, provided that we do, we will find his rest in this world, and we will find it forever. Today you hear the Lord's voice. Harden not your heart to it, but open wide, hear it and do it. Remember the opening prayer with which we began this Mass, which is a fitting way for us to summarize this whole message. O Lord, we pray that they may see what must be done and gain the strength to do what they have seen. Let's open ourselves to receive that strength. Praise be Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm.